The president proposes taxes on the wealthy and says it's not class warfare, it's math.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. At the White House Rose Garden in the last hour, President Obama laid out his plan to reduce government debt by an extra $3 trillion over the next decade. It includes cuts to Medicare and Medicaid, not Social Security, though, and it includes higher taxes for the wealthiest Americans.
Any reform should follow another simple principle. Middle-class families shouldn't pay higher taxes than millionaires and billionaires. That's pretty straightforward.
Now, as details of the plan were released over the weekend, Republicans had a chance to talk about how bad they think it is to raise taxes in an economic slowdown. Republican Mitch McConnell is Senate Minority Leader. He spoke on NBC's Meet the Press.
We've borrowed too much. We've spent too much. We're dramatically overregulating every aspect of the private sector in our country, and now we're threatening to raise taxes on top of it. That's not going to get the economy moving.
And more proof the economy's in neutral or going backward right now, American home builder sentiment fell in the month of September. The National Association of Home Builders reported those numbers. The housing market is still struggling with tighter credit and higher foreclosure numbers and, of course, high unemployment. Let's do the numbers. Markets are lower right now. The Dow is off about 1.5%, 173 points at 11,336. The Nasdaq down about 0.75%. A new poll by the Associated Press and CNBC shows only 2 in 10 Americans, 20% of Americans, believe they'll achieve wealth sometime in the next 10 years. In Los Angeles today, there's still no word on a deal between grocery workers and the big three supermarket chains, but negotiations continue and workers are on the job today at Ralph's, owned by Kroger, Vons, owned by Safeway, and Albertsons, owned by Super Value. About 62,000 employees have been working without a contract since March. David Smith is associate professor at Pepperdine University's Gratzidio School of Business, and he's with us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
What happens when grocery workers go on strike? Do stores close?
Well, in this particular case, the stores are planning to close, at least some of the stores. I know that Ralph's is planning to close all of their stores, and Albertson says it'll close some of its stores.
And how does this affect other grocery chains across the country? I mean, I know Albertson's and Kroger owns Ralph's and Safeway owns Vons. I mean, those are chains that have stores all across the country, right?
Yeah, the Los Angeles operations for those chains are important, and they'll certainly take a big financial hit. It certainly can impact their supply chain. It can impact their employee relations. It can impact some of the negotiations they have on other areas. There's certainly ripple effects that will occur.
What about for the competitors? I mean, maybe the smaller markets or the mom-and-pop shops that are there, I mean, will they get a boost from all of this?
Yeah, it has been said that the only one that are likely to win from a strike are the competitors. The other stores that benefited in 2003 and 2004 when there was a strike are likely to benefit again as consumers will shop elsewhere with their food dollar.
We've heard a lot about collective bargaining rights and things like that being stripped away in other states. I mean, when we see a strike like this, does it sort of turn the public opinion sour?
It certainly can, especially in a time of high unemployment when many individuals would be happy to have a job right now. I think it's not great timing for the unions to go on strike because of the potential impact on public opinion.
David Smith, Associate Professor of Economics over at Pepperdine University. David, thank you.
Thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the knowledge effect. And by Allianz, providing retirement solutions that can help to guarantee income for life through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com.
The primetime Emmys are history, and the fall TV season is underway. There are going to be plenty of new shows and new music to go with them. But buying the rights to use the music means TV studios have to think ahead. From station WPLN in Nashville, Blake Farmer reports.
TV shows may start on the air, but they can have a lucrative afterlife on DVD. It wasn't always that way.
Oh, baby,
remember following Kevin Arnold through puberty in The Wonder Years?
Which was a wonderful show, but unfortunately used tons and tons of that period music.
Gord Lacey is the founder of TVShowsOnDVD.com. He says we can't relive Kevin chasing after Winnie Cooper on DVD because the show only licensed the music for broadcast.
DVDs didn't exist. Why would you pay money to license music for something that doesn't even exist yet?
Shows like China Beach and WKRP in Cincinnati may never see their way into the digital domain because licensing the music now would make them unprofitable. Today's legal agreements throw in everything.
The terminology typically is all media now known or hereafter devised in perpetuity throughout the universe.
Ron Prue is one of the people who finds the perfect song to put behind high emotion moments. Increasingly, music supervisors find themselves working with relative unknowns. Indie artists Amy Stroop and Trent Dabbs have had placements all over prime time, including this one on the last season of Grey's Anatomy. Ron Prue says TV studios see a bargain.
Indie is another word for inexpensive.
The To Infinity and Beyond licensing deals mean tens of thousands of dollars for a major label name instead of a couple thousand for someone like Amy Stroop. And she says there aren't nearly as many lawyers involved.
There's a lot less doors to open. Can we use a song? Yep, there you go. And the independent artist is going, yes, this is awesome.
It's unbelievable exposure for artists who often play in the corner of a bar. And the exposure doesn't stop. It can live on with the DVD box set. In Nashville, I'm Blake Farmer for Marketplace.
And finally, the food website Hunch.com surveyed its fans and found there's just as much a political split in how we eat as how we vote. Liberals favor their veggies fresh rather than cooked. Conservatives favor cereal or skip breakfast altogether, while some liberals like toast or bagels. And if you're having a dinner party, Hunch.com is a recommended menu for both sides. Conservatives, meatloaf, mashed potatoes, and soda. Liberals, curry chicken, rice, and a glass of Pinot Noir. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Time to play with the kids or just read a good book. How much is that worth?
We always say, what would you rather have, more money or more time? And I bet you people will always say, more time.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Wealth or well-being? And the numbers from Wall Street as well. It's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.